We just came through Alzheimer's Month, where people think, talk, and focus more on Alzheimer's. All 12 months of the year are essentially that, because all of us think all the time about dementia, about Alzheimer's, about will it affect me? Is it already affecting my family? So our focus was on that in September. Now here we are, October the 10th. Tomorrow is the day of the big annual walk. We're always happy to participate in that at WGN Radio, but we can't this year because we don't want everybody to gather at one. So we're asking you to spread out and walk on your own with a small group in your neighborhood. Get on the treadmill. Even if you can't do any of that, just send them a check, for crying out loud. That's the purpose of this, as well as focusing our attention on that. And here's a couple of smart people to talk to us about that. Dr. Darren Gittleman returns from the Advocate Medical Group and the Advocate Memory Center. Doc, thanks for coming into the studio today. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me back.
Also in our studio, Gene Kuhn from the Alzheimer's Association, a senior manager of healthcare engagement. Gene, thanks for coming into our studio. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me here today.
Tell me what you do.
What my role at the Alzheimer's Association is, I work with the healthcare professionals throughout the state. So I go and I talk to doctors, to nurses, to social workers, to office managers, whoever is interacting with folks with dementia, and I provide education, just basic education on what the Alzheimer's Association does, the resources we have available, free resources that they can utilize that will hopefully make their jobs a little easier and then benefit the patients and families they work with.
Give me an example.
Our helpline. We have a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week helpline. That number is 1-800-272-3900. And it's kind of a one-stop shop for families. They can call anytime, day or night, really for whatever they are looking for. Lots of times it's just to ask a general question. You know, tell me the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia, or my doctor said this, or should I be doing this? They will always talk to a live person that can help answer those questions to the best of their abilities.
Have the questions changed post-COVID?
Yes. I mean, right now we're having everybody, us like everybody out there, we're having to adapt. And so, yes, now some more of the questions are coming up about COVID.
Because a lot of that is very physical, very personal, very close, I would imagine, some depending on the individual, right?
You betcha.
People must be nervous then about having other caregivers come into the home of a loved one or themselves interacting with somebody.
Absolutely. And when it comes to COVID, there are still so many unknowns out there. You look at the news every day and you hear something different. So, yes, people are nervous. People are scared to go out and about, to have people in their home. We have a whole COVID section on our website. So alz.org/COVID-19 has tips for caregivers who are going through this, whether they have somebody coming at home, in a care setting, etc.
alz.org/walk. If you want to participate in a walk or contribute to ours, we got about $1,200, $1,500. I think most of it you donated, Jeannie. So one of my friends here at the radio station, one of our account executives, has put her money where her mouth is and has contributed. I have too. I'd like, in this half hour, we're going to talk about this till about 11 o'clock. Could you make a donation right now? Go to alz.org/walk. And it's just a couple of clicks and you can make a donation of $2 or $2 million. It does go to a good place. In fact, Dr. Gittleman, why don't you jump in here too? And I wonder what money donated to the Alzheimer's Association would do. How would it benefit you? How is money being spent? What kind of research is going on?
So it doesn't benefit me personally, but it does benefit the research, and it does benefit our patients incredibly. And as Gene pointed out, the ALZ.org website is an incredible website, and the support people there, I mean, it pays for them as well. Advocate is involved with the Alzheimer's Association on Direct Care Connection, where we refer people there for development of care plans and support, and that is so important for patients.
Last time you and I talked, we spent some time talking about trying to avoid it or minimize the severity of dementia or Alzheimer's. And there's a study that's been going on about, what is it, lifestyle, about how you live your life and how you minimize that. Is that right?
Exactly. And so another large portion of those funds go for research. That's so critical for us to defeat this disease. The U.S. Pointer Study is a large lifestyle study being run throughout the United States and in Chicagoland that is looking for changes in lifestyle, such as exercise, better diet, better sleep, and social interactions and intellectual puzzles and things like that as a way to reduce people's risk in the future for having Alzheimer's disease.
It just seems to me like we all, you know, hope that bullet doesn't hit us, but there's not much you can do about it. You're telling
me
otherwise.
Well, I would disagree. Yeah. I would disagree. I think there's many things that are negative in our lives, things like if you smoke, if you eat too much, if you don't get education, if you have bad hearing, those seem to increase the risk. On the other hand, the exercise, the diet, the intellectual engagement, those things seem to reduce the risk.
If you've got a question about this, 312-981-7200, call right now. Our guests will take your calls, especially if you've got questions. Well, no, I won't even say especially. If you have questions about being a caregiver, how do I deal with this scene, this situation, this scenario? Or maybe you've just got questions about the disease itself. The brain power is here. 312-981-7200. I'm intrigued by the idea that intellectual engagement, I think that's how you put it, might also help. So does that mean reading? Does that mean socializing? What does that mean?
Well, let me point out that the U.S. Pointer study is being run at Advocate and at Rush in Chicagoland. To sign up at Advocate, 847-720-6464. And as you point out, intellectual engagement means so many things. You exercise your body in different ways, right? You have aerobic activity and flexibility and strength training. You got to do the same for your mind. So learn a new hobby. Read and discuss what you read, for example.
Does it matter when I do that? Like, Sam's 70. Is it too late? Or does it help me if I try and be proactive when I'm 50 and do things like this?
And both are exactly right. It is important to be proactive, and it's never too late.
Yeah. I've heard that about heart health, too, that people think, okay, now I'm getting older, now I'm getting heavier, I'll do something about that. But actually, arterial sclerosis can develop when you're younger. If you have bad eating habits when you're 30, your veins don't forget, right? So it is, in that case, a cumulative sort of thing. Would you say the same about mental health or these diseases?
Cumulative, but I would say the American Heart Association would say no time like the present to start on your heart health as
right.
well.
Don't be discouraged if you weren't there then.
And what's good for your heart is good for your brain.
Oh, you think so?
Absolutely.
You would know, you being the doctor and me being a dumb talk show host. But really, so because what you're describing were healthy lifestyle choices.
Exactly.
In fact, I'm a little disappointed in that. I mean, I know to lead a healthy lifestyle. I was hoping there was some magic key, you would say, but eat fish or learn French, and boy, that'll fire up the part of the brain that will stimulate it the most and make you least susceptible to getting the disease.
All of those things are important. So there is no one magic key, but there are a set of magic keys, and we have to try to use each of them.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. Some texts are coming in. Can dementia be alcohol-induced?
Dementia can be alcohol-induced. So minimal amounts of alcohol throughout our life may be fine, but too much of anything is no good.
Sure, but I mean, if I'm a chronic alcoholic, you know, we know people that do seem to be living in a fog, but you think if they sober up, they won't be demented. I think they're asking if specifically you could develop dementia as a result of excessive use of alcohol.
Excessive use of alcohol over many, many years, unfortunately, can lead to dementia and, of course, can affect other organ systems like the liver, which can also lead to dementia.
312-981-7200. Okay, I'll stop asking questions. You ask them, too. 312-981-7200. And, hey, I'm going to check. So go to alz.org/walk. It'll take you a minute, but could you make a donation and help people like this do the things they do? None of us knows perfectly. Do we? Do we know if, in fact, we are going to develop dementia or Alzheimer's?
We don't know yet, but in the future, there may be ways to predict that.
Heredity is not a perfect marker yet, huh?
Heredity is not a perfect marker because we have all these other factors in our lives that make a difference. And in fact, maybe over a third of the factors that lead to Alzheimer's disease, you can make a difference in.
Like a lot of genetic disorders, though, they believe that there's these triggers and then lifestyle triggers
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
This is the case with that?
Absolutely.
So is there a genetic test I can get to at least say if I'm susceptible?
You know, right now, we don't have ways of combating those genetic results except doing these lifestyle changes, and I'd make those recommendations for you no matter what your genetic risks were.
But about genetic tests, I'm wondering, if my parents had it, am I logically more susceptible?
A little bit more susceptible.
All right, 312-981-7200. This is WGN Radio, September Alzheimer's Appreciation or Awareness Month, and now at the end of September, here we are, second week of October, it's the big annual walk. We're not gathering at the lake, right, Gene, because that just won't be safe.
Nope, not this year.
How many? That is like a big deal for Alzheimer's, isn't it, those walks?
Yes, the walks are, that's our biggest fundraising event. It's the biggest fundraising event throughout the world, raising money towards Alzheimer's and other dementias.
You know, you think like if they said to retailers, you can't have Christmas, you're not going to get those funds, how devastating that would be to the retailers. These events are your Christmases, aren't they?
They are. They are. So like I mentioned earlier, we've had to adapt just like everybody else out there. And so this year, the walk isn't in one place. It's everywhere. So we've created an app. It's our Walk to End Alzheimer's app that you can download for free. And you can literally walk in your neighborhood. You can go to the park. You can go to the local trail. You can walk wherever you want to be. So tomorrow, our Chicago walk, that's one of the biggest walks in the country. Now it is everywhere. So you can, the opening ceremony still take place at 9 a.m.
Yep.
Then they're going to have some local speakers kind of talk.
On your tablet, on your phone, you can watch these virtually.
Absolutely. You can watch everything on your tablet or on your phone right there.
And if you want to schedule it, then say, okay, and then like we would on a walk throughout Chicagoland, people are going to mosey on out at 9:30 tomorrow morning. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be about 70 degrees. You might be going for a walk anyway. Do it with a purpose this time and make that donation by going to alz.org/walk. You can form your own team. You can be your own team. You can join our team and then make a donation. You can do that right now. Frankly, there's no honesty check here. If you don't walk, if you just watch TV, the check doesn't bounce. It'll be okay. But we'd like you to get out and walk too, right?
Absolutely. One, the exercise, as we're hearing from Dr. Gittleman, is definitely not going to hurt you in any aspect. But it's a great way to show support, and it's a great way to engage with your loved ones, your friends, your family, wherever they may be. They can be on other ends of the country. You can still all walk together via that app.
I had one question about that, and then I got a bunch of calls and text messages to get to. 312-981-7200. If someone is in the early phases, doctor, you may have an opinion about this too, of dementia or Alzheimer's, and sometimes they're focused and sometimes they're not. Should you talk to them about, well, you have Alzheimer's or early onset or dementia, and so you don't understand, like, just be forthright with them, or should you engage in sometimes nonsensical conversations just to ease their anxiety?
You don't need to convince someone that they have Alzheimer's disease. Because one, the word Alzheimer's can be a trigger word where it can just upset them. So trying to convince them is a battle you may never win. And just when you think you have won it, then they've forgotten and they're back to not believing you. And in terms of going along with nonsensical, you know, things that they might say, we've got a saying, and that is their reality is the reality. As this disease progresses, they may sometimes say things that are not true. They may, you know, if you ask them what year it is, they may tell you it's 1950. And instead of trying to bring them back to our reality, we need to go to them.
So if they say, well, but I'm going to see my sister next Tuesday and the sister's long passed or the sister isn't coming, what would you do?
I'd go along with it. Because if you try to tell them that, you know, hey, your sister has passed away, you are bringing up what could possibly be one of the worst days of their life.
So if you engage that way, though, the expectation is that come Tuesday, there's no consequence of that. It won't be an issue Tuesday.
Correct.
Yeah. I think that's one of the most helpful things I've heard.
Yeah, it's easier said than done. I can tell you as a family member having gone through this that it's not easy to do, but sometimes you have to go along with where they're at.
And that's Gene Kuhn, who is with the Alzheimer's Association. Dr. Darren Gittleman is here, too.
Yes. You know, so there was an improv comedian who just went with it. And I think it was his mother-in-law who had Alzheimer's. And, you know, so he would, you know, in improv, you say, yes, and.
Yes, and.
And yes, and. So he would do that. She loved it. And always in the moment, always able to respond and you know, kind of happy.
Absolutely.
Let's take short answers to these questions, and then we'll go to the phone call. Can dementia be alcohol-induced? You said so. Do we know if long-term use of marijuana creates dementia?
We don't know.
Run eat fish, listen to Steely Dan. John, that's my way to beat Alzheimer's. Run, eat fish, listen to Steely Dan.
Listen to Steely Dan and run. And but you can't run and fish at the same time.
You're a Steely Dan fan too, as am I. John, are word searches beneficial to the brain? Well, that's the mental engagement.
Yeah, I think it's the mental engagement. And any mental engagement that's novel, the brain figures out how to make things easier, so you kind of have to step it up each time.
Maggie's,
it's never going to hurt.
It's right. Maggie, you're on WG, and what was your question? Hi.
Hi. My question is if the Alzheimer was alcohol-induced, if they stop having alcohol, does that maybe lessen the Alzheimer's or dementia, or does it stay just where it's at?
So I would say the alcohol doesn't necessarily induce Alzheimer's, but can induce its own type of dementia. And in some cases, that stopping the alcohol, eating properly, getting your vitamins may make a huge difference. So never a time like the present.
Even a modest improvement you'll take.
Would make a difference.
Russ, you're on. Thanks for the phone call. Good luck, Maggie. Russ, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. Yes, doctor. My wife is on oxycodone 7.5 every 4 hours for overall body pain, and she's showing signs of early cognitive difficulties. Is the oxycodone a large contributor to that?
So don't know, because I don't know your wife, but I will say that chronic pain, chronic use of narcotics, a lot of different medications can contribute to mental fogging.
So his dilemma then is, do we back her off the pain medication? Now she'll experience more pain, but she'll have more mental acuity. Is that a possible consequence? Would that maybe help that way?
You know what I would say is work with the doctors to try to achieve a balance. And that best takes care of her.
Do I, in her condition, I'm torn between taking her to a neurologist for testing or going through opiate detox to get her, because she wants to get off the oxycodone.
Wow. Well, I would always say take her to a neurologist for testing, because it's really a comprehensive evaluation that's necessary where you take into account all of these factors.
Gene, do you run into situations like this sometimes with the helplines and things like that?
Yep.
This is the kind of question you would get.
Absolutely. You know, as families have those type of questions, and we'll always refer them back to their provider, and sometimes kind of coach them through, well, maybe you should ask this, or maybe try asking this. These are the things you want to look for.
Russ, good luck. That number is 1-800-272-3900, right?
Correct.
Write that down, 1-800-272-3900. Arlene, you're on WGN. How can we help you, Arlene?
Hey, hi, Jen. Maybe you remember me. I helped you out with your modem a while
ago. Yes, you did. So what's your question? I got 1 minute, Arlene.
Okay, I have a little information. I am part of the Memory and Aging Project at Rush St. Luke's.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. They come out once a year. They give me a two-hour memory test. It's grueling. And they also check other things. I've been in it for 10 years. My memory has never changed.
I have a question about that, guys. There are ongoing tests like this. Arlene, you know I'm out of time. I so appreciate your call. But tests like this are ongoing, right, where we're checking and charting people's cognitive ability?
Absolutely.
Are there any of those studies that we should mention here before we wrap it up, guys, that you're also aware of? You mentioned that Poynter Institute study.
You know, right now the Poynter study is looking at these lifestyle changes. At Advocate, you can call 847-720-6464 to sign up for that study, and we'll follow you over time.
Let's mention that again, 847-720-6464.
Exactly.
Now, that's the one to participate in a study like this? Is that what you're saying?
Either the U.S. Poynter study or if you want a clinical evaluation for Alzheimer's disease or dementia.
Well, that may be a reason to call, too, 847-720-6464. The helpline is 800-272-3900. I'm not making a joke here. If you don't remember those numbers, we'll put them on my website. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. I suppose it's okay to make that joke once in a while.
We hear it every so often, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it can be in bad taste. It can also be on point. And hey, remember now, that website is alz.org/walk. Why are we here today? We should do this more often, but alz.org/walk. That's the website for the Alzheimer's Walk tomorrow. 9 o'clock, the virtual kickoff. Then 9:30, we actually start walking till, say, around noon. There's a memory wall at Soldier Field, right, Jeannie, where folks can actually come down and take a look at that as well. If that's part of your sort of ritual tomorrow, it's going to be a lovely day. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in. Doctor, good to see you again.
Thank you for having us.
Nice to meet you.
Well, nice to meet you, and thank
Keep
you for having me.
Doing the work that you guys are doing.
Thank you.
This is just so vital to so many families. It's 10:57. The news is coming up.